After Buzzers, we are here with a boy band after show, season one, episode three, Sweet 16. So much drama. We're going to talk about who goes bye, bye, bye. Stay right here.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the boy band after show. I'm your host, Lindsay Miller, and I am here, and I'm not alone, and we are at season one, episode three, Sweet 16. Sorry, I was thrown by NSYNC and bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
It's infectious.
Great song.
Girl, bye.
Introduce yourselves. Tell the fine people where they can find you.
You can find me all day, every day. Even on Sundays or not, at Asaph Gorin 1, all social media. Yes.
I'm Stephen Lovegrove. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Dr. Lovegrove.
And I am Carissa Blades, and you can find me everywhere at Carissa Blades. And I'm so excited to be the new.
Yay! Welcome to our boy and girl band.
Let's make a band. Yes.
And you guys can find me on social media at Rockin' Mama Life. And also make sure you go to YouTube
is great.
YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes, rate, comment, subscribe. Let us know what you guys think. Stefan is going to be hitting up the live chat again tonight. We are live.
And we appreciated all the comments last week, both live and throughout the week. So keep the comments coming whenever you're watching or listening.
Yeah.
We're going to ask them like questions or like stuff like that, and they're going to write us on the live chat, right?
Are they?
I think so. I think we should do that. Like, who's their favorite? Who they want to see is going on? Whatever.
Give us your feedback. We love hearing it. We also love following these guys on social media. And I'm not going to lie, my favorite tweet of the week was Brady Totten saying that he's really glad that Rockin' Mama lady doesn't hate him anymore.
Brady, I just want you to remember that I was rooting for you and calling it from the beginning.
Yes,
so
true.
Now that she's on the bandwagon, let's just keep the story straight here.
I know you're doing a lot of homework, and I know you're new, but I made myself homework, and I was noticing a lot of, like, upcoming stars on social medias from the boy band show.
Which is huge.
I didn't know that it's that big. Yo, they're making it, like, they have more followers than me.
They're really pushing it. They're coming up on you.
Somebody sounds jealous.
No, I mean, after only two episodes, I was like, it's impossible. I mean, we have Chance, John, we have... what's
Devin
his name?
Hayes.
Devin Hayes. Yeah. Gavin.
Some of them have pre-existing followers, though.
Yes, I mean,
like Gavin, as they discussed tonight. So it's not just from the last two.
I mean, Devin Hayes, he has over like 100,000 followers on Twitter.
Oh yeah.
I think just but slightly guys, more than you, Asaph.
Yeah. But guys, it shows
follow me, follow me.
Anyways, let's get back on track.
Follow me.
The point being, if you guys are fans of the show, like we are, find them all on social media because it's super fun. They've been doing a lot of live Instas. They've been doing collaborations, posting songs, a lot of live stuff. It's really fun to watch. But let's talk about this week, right? We have 6 tracks, and we see them playing basketball. Getting some hoops on.
Ooh la la. And you can you can learn a lot about someone's vocal and performance skills from his basketball skills.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding. I just want to say something real quick because...
Oh, Asaph.
Six Track is one of the hardest groups to deal with. I tell you why. As we say in Hebrew... Each one of them is with his own color. Like, he's got his own uniqueness. Like
the bandanas.
Yeah, with the bandanas, but uniqueness, like, in their own, like, individuality. Yeah. Like, kol echad betzeva. That's how we say. For example, we have very dominant people, like, Miles?
Miles,
yeah. Very dominant, and Connor, Michael Connor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
We talked about it at the beginning, and we know that this is a little bit of foreshadowing where they talk about this group, and Timbaland is the one who says, we've got a lot of solo artists. This is the group of solo artists.
It was like
artists.
The theme of this week. Yeah. I mean, it just kept playing that it's not cohesive.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the worry from the beginning through the end.
Yeah, we have Michael Connor, who's this violin... virtuoso kid who also is a rapper who apparently can sing. What? And then we have Andrew Butcher, who's this pop country folk artist, totally out of left field, Dorian Tyler, who is feeling like he doesn't even fit into this group mm-hmm. because of his background, and, you know, we'll get into that later.
Right.
Mikey Jimenez, like, we have Miles, Gavin, they all have a completely different right. persona, not only in life, but also mm-hmm. in their musical style. So I think we saw that. When they're at basketball, we see them get together and play Kanye Heartless, right. just sort of jamming.
Who do you think killed it?
In the jam sesh?
Yeah, none of them. Sesh. You know who did.
Well, I thought that that was honestly the most cohesive they seemed until their final.
I thought it was contrived.
I thought that basketball conversation was staged.
Oh no, the basketball conversation, yes, but when they were actually singing, like they were all looking at each other and making eye contact and checking in, and I don't think they were doing that. I was just
looking at Michael Connor just killing it.
See
what already? Like you can see a star. That's the thing. This is star quality. You can notice him before he's even talking.
He's a star, but that's I felt like this, of all the groups, when they performed together, I was like, ooh. They sounded like six individuals, and I didn't see it as them checking in with each other. I felt like they were looking at each other like...
This is in the basketball
how do I fit in? They were like trying to get in sync, but they just couldn't connect, is what it felt like to me.
I thought it was a sign from the beginning when they did the bandanas. I immediately thought to myself... Cute, but bandanas do not equal group chemistry. I was like, this is a nice like a little gimmick.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to make yourselves together. Yeah.
I mean, at least they try to stand out or to look unique. And of course, we got the rebellious sassy, which I totally understand him. Mikey?
Miles, sorry.
He was the only one who didn't wear a bandana. For the rehearsals.
I noticed that as well.
I was like, bro, why you do that?
He didn't get on board with the bandanas. Did you notice
this? Which is ironic because he often does wear bandanas. So it wasn't
a guy
wearing it later.
Issue.
No, he's just a rebel. He will be the only guy who will always rebel because he's a soloist. He's not a leader. He's a soloist. He will always go,
I don't know that that's I agree how I see with
it. That. And I mean, feel it. I'm the same.
I don't know that I agree with that. You know, we see them with Tim Davis, and they're rehearsing There's Nothing Holding Me Back by Shawn Mendes, which is what they performed this week. And we see Miles having a hard time with Tim's criticism. And what I saw there was it's easy to forget how young these guys are.
Right.
How young they are and how talented they are. And anytime you have somebody who's young and talented, and then you put them in a group with other people that are young and talented... I think it was Tim that hit it on the head. These kids are used to being a really big fish in their small pond.
Yeah,
and they
absolutely.
Feel like their pond is really big, but it's not.
So it's like, basically, it's like a talent explosion?
Yeah, well, you get in this, you know, all their lives, they've probably been told, like, oh my gosh, you're so talented, you're so talented, you're so good. They've been the star of their musicals and their chorus and the bands and their talent shows. And then they get into this setting and they're not the star anymore, or there's somebody else just as talented.
So what's the thing? Like, how can you actually create a, like, the perfect band out of, like, you know, so many stars? Like, it's kind of... confusing, you know, like everybody's is a star, like everyone's
not.
A star there.
I have two thoughts on Miles.
It's like weird.
First of all, he had a whole like rampage of tweets the other night that I happened to catch.
Please, and I do tell.
I'm not constantly on my phone, but I happened to catch it, and then they were deleted 5 minutes later. But he tweeted and said, I saw in the previews, there's an edit of me that looks like I walked out on a rehearsal. That's not how it happened. Andrew Butcher didn't really say anything about me. This is an edit. It immediately got taken down, and he was, like, letting it go. And I'm like, there was some producer involvement there.
Absolutely. Of course.
But yeah, I did watch for that, and so I do think he was in his head. But I wonder if after rehearsal, he actually pulled Tim aside and was like, I want to talk to you. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that he actually stormed out and Tim had to bring him back. I think he was just in his head and having a rough day.
His actions looked like, oh, hey, I'm out of here. But the actual dialogue that they were having.
Right. If he had really stormed out, we would have heard
disconnected
it.
To you.
And he kept saying group, and he kept saying, like, he was thinking team in his mind.
Oh, yeah. Like, that heart-to-heart with Tim felt really genuine, and it felt like, you know, Tim is a father, and it felt like him as a father figure being like, look, I get it. This is really hard. The situation that these guys are in is really hard. And yeah. they have a lot of pressure, and they have a lot of overwhelming stuff happening. Yeah. And I think he was trying to sort of talk him through. And I think to your yeah. point, Asaph, on how do you make a group out of individuals, these yeah. kids are young. They have to learn. They have to mm-hmm. learn how to work together, like any sports team.
Yeah.
You find any sports team and find somebody who's second string, who isn't jealous of the mm-hmm. starters.
Yes.
It's just what happens.
100%. I want to say something about Miles and Tim. I don't think that, yes, it was genuine. Tim was genuine when he was talking to Miles, but at the same time, it seems like he's trying to push, like he was trying to push on the button there, you know, like to bring something out of Miles.
I've said from the beginning, I thought the boy band thing was forced. I think they really pushed that. They wanted a little bit of pushback from him right. because they're pushing this the bad boy narrative. Yeah.
Right.
I think I said it wrong.
You're trying to put him in a frame, like, of a bad boy. And I'm like,
oh, no.
Right. I think he has insecurities. I don't think that that's the bad boy. I think yes. that's insecurities being in his head.
You go.
I also just thought it was funny that he categorizes himself as a bad boy mm-hmm. because the second you start thinking that about yourself, someone who is like a genuine bad boy sees themselves as an individual. No, yeah, they're like, I'm just an individual.
Not a role.
Yeah, it's not something you put on. It's something that you have inside you. And you could tell from all the conversation with him, that's not who he is.
But what I do agree with Tim is that maybe, and it seems like on TV like that, maybe it wasn't real or something, I don't know, that Miles couldn't get, like, you know, like comments or like, you know, to have a boss, to have someone above him, because it seems like he felt like
he had a really hard time taking criticism and taking direction.
Yeah.
And that's something that you can learn
right
to do better.
Don't you think it's an ego thing?
There's obviously ego involved, but it's also immaturity.
True. 100. Yeah. It's all combined. Immaturity,
I think also this week, right. more than any other, they were all really terrified of going home.
Yeah.
And I think, I realized they don't want to be told something's wrong because they instantly get in their head and are like, mm-hmm, I'm going to mess up the group. And they're saying, I don't want to mess up the group, but it's simultaneously, if I'm messing this up, I'm going to be the one that goes home.
Right.
They seem more conscious of that than either of the past groups.
So here's...
Well, and it's weird. A lot of it is this, I think we hear Miles say he's very sensitive. Mm-hmm. And a lot of artists are, you know, you put on this huge persona, but you take it so personally, and we see Gavin talking about it as well, where you cling to those two negative comments and the 1,000 positive ones just sort of fly by.
Right.
And you just cling to that negativity. And I think it's just human nature.
It is human nature.
It's hard not to get that mental game. But we see this mental game, you know, for a lot of them. And I think mm-hmm. a big role in it was mm-hmm. the reaction to Michael Connor. What do you guys think of Michael Connor?
I mean, he's plowing forward. I mean, he's somebody who is constantly taking things to the next mm-hmm. level. And just the way that he looks at himself, I mean, he plays all of these instruments. He can rap. He can do all of this stuff. So when they ask him if he's a vocalist, in his mind, he isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But the level that he's already at is so great. But because he's better at these other things, he, you know, was stifling himself. And you can tell that he's a performer when he's on stage.
Absolutely.
And just, even when he wasn't on the stage, just when you watch him, he has that magnetic energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think out of that whole group, he has the most potential to be a leader of not just that band, but any band until the end.
100%. He's definitely one of my top fives. Sorry, I said it. But you know that beside that, he's so talented. He's playing 7 instruments. He's a performer. I could understand and realize that his self-awareness is amazing. You know, he seems he's so smart, and he knows how to speak out his voice, and he knows...
A little cocky.
Multiple instruments. Remember last week we were talking about what other instruments do they play? He plays way more than the violin. But you think he's cocky?
I think it's amazing. Well, I think some of it is also editing. But he kind of reminds me of like in an 80s movie, he would be like named Biff and have like a sweater over like his
Johnny
shoulders.
Bravo, Johnny Bravo.
And he would have like the perfectly coiffed hair.
He does have perfectly coiffed hair.
You know what I mean?
But if we're gonna bring up their social media, if you watch him on an Instagram live, he's actually the most reserved. Mm. Like
really?
Brady, we find out is actually pretty loud.
Right.
He's the opposite. He's like, I'm a little reserved. I'm in my hotel room. Mm. I don't know. He sent me the sweetest message the first week and was like, "You guys were so kind. Thank you. I watched." Wow. Like he's. I don't think that he's cocky.
Yeah,
in real
I think
life.
This
I
is not cocky.
Like
this
you.
Is self awareness.
Okay, maybe not cocky.
It's confident about the truth. He's the truth. He's confident with the skills and the abilities that he earns through the years. He put probably a lot of work and a lot of effort into his talent to become, you know, his skills are high.
He's incredibly talented. I just want to see more of him. That's what I gained out of this episode was he's super duper talented, but who is he? You know, and I think
he's also 16, right?
Oh, he's 16, but he's an incredible performer. I think he's actually 17. Incredible performer.
Right.
Insanely talented, but I want to know who he is as a person.
I think you can know a lot of things about him from his performance. And I think that's how I see it. I'm sorry. I think he's shining.
It just seems very polished, you know?
Like perfect.
Yes, like he's hiding almost.
Whereas
he's hiding something a little bit, some part of him.
And in a show where you have to vote for people, I mean, people pick up and vote for somebody they feel connected to. You know, people are going to connect to Miles after this. They're going to root for him. They're going to want to see him, you know, whether good or bad.
Right.
Same with Brady. You know, we see, even Dorian, like people are going to latch on to these stories of the person. And what we got from Michael Connor was, I can do the Rubik's Cube and I can do this. And I just don't know that America's going to latch on to that.
But
I think
this is definitely editing. And I think this is part
absolutely.
Of the... Of course, because he was talking about his life and about his past and about his family, what he's been through and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's editing.
Editing.
Not good, ABC. Not good.
Whatever there is of more of him, though, I do think we'll find... Like, Dorian, we had hardly seen any of.
The whole episode.
The whole episode and the whole season. I mean, they gave him 6 seconds of an audition. Mm-hmm. And so the reality is, the longer they stay in the competition, we do get more of them.
Right.
So, thankfully,
agreed.
I don't think Michael's going anywhere. We're going to see more of him. But for better or worse, we're going
to
see more of him, you know.
Yeah.
Who else we saw highlighted with Tim Davis was Mikey and his hair.
Yeah.
Mikey?
And yeah, Mikey.
What do we think of his
Mikey assessment
of he listens to younger artists? I think that's accurate. I think it's spot
super
on.
Super accurate.
Yeah, absolutely.
That he is like listening to Justin Bieber.
He sounds like Bieber.
I think these days, this kind of style of like singing is so common. You know, like everyone's singing like that. I don't know. It can be Bieber, Ed Sheeran, and all these.
But it's
other
different
people.
For it to be a choice versus you don't know why you're doing it. Like,
you
know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's saying, could he sing in a different way if he wanted to?
Yeah, can he harm? I mean, I think
absolutely.
When they were jamming in the beginning, you can hear his voice.
Right.
And he's overriding, not in a pitchy way, but just he doesn't sound like he's sinking into a group.
Right. Or he's trying to improvise or something. Yeah, so basically they're not looking for a
copycat. It's like he's adding his own auto-tune.
Right.
But I also think that Tim Davis is a very smart man, and I think that he knows that if Mikey can get rid of these kind of vocal tics that he's taught himself by listening
to
certain
voice to back
he
it up.
Has something there that could be even greater, and he's trying to bring that out. Do you think that played into some of Mikey's reservations that we saw, you know, in the performance? He was a little bit kind of reserved and not really out there.
I think he was trying really hard. I don't know. I didn't think he was the most in his head, like, overall, out of everybody in the group. Mm-hmm. I thought he was trying really hard. And I think they were a little harder on him than I was. I actually, in the performance, I know we're not quite there yet, but I thought he was a great performer. The crowd seemed to love him.
The girls love him.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course. He's
him.
A good looking, he's a boy band.
Well,
guy.
And I'll admit,
he's
didn't
beautiful.
Get it in the audition.
I didn't
get why they were screaming so loud or why they, but the connection I did feel from the performance.
Yeah, like I do feel like he had a twinkle in his eye. Not all the time, but sometimes.
Yeah, I think that he's definitely a performer. A good performer, he has a stage presence, but I don't think he found himself yet. He doesn't really, you know what I'm saying? He didn't find his own uniqueness yet.
Well, it is worth
maybe
pointing
this
out,
show
this
will
is
help
the youngest group.
Yeah.
Which we didn't have J-Hype, so I kind of was like, I call bluff. Technically, it's not all the youngest. But it is the youngest group overall. So that is the reason we're having so many of these issues is if you're 15 or 17, you haven't found yourself yet.
And that's compounded. They're going last, too. Right. There's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Sure. That's also true. They've now witnessed two eliminations. Mm-hmm. And we talked about the horror on their faces, including Miles. They've now gone through that process twice. Right. It's not all fun and games at that point.
Right. No. Speaking of fun and games, Andrew Butcher, what are your thoughts on Andrew Butcher? Tim Davis thinks he has a special voice, needs confidence. He loves his fishing.
Yeah.
I'm curious to hear your thoughts on Mr. Butcher.
Butcher. My mom would say he's a good boy. He definitely is a good boy.
Right?
Yes. Butcher. He's the all-American. They show
Where
him
is
a
he
diner,
from?
He's like the guy you want to take your daughter out.
Yes.
Right? Like,
yes.
You're like, so, if she says no, he'll say,
he's from Indiana.
Right.
I would love, 100%. Like, you will
he's
take,
a nice guy.
I'll let him to take my sister to prom or something.
Him. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, he's
I actually,
yeah,
he's you know what, I'm gonna admit, I thought he was gonna be Gonzo.
Right.
I kind of don't hate him.
I'll never hate him.
I still don't see him in the final boy band. I'm really excited to see the following weeks and how he adapts and grows.
Right.
I agree. I do not see him in a boy band, but I could totally see him as a very successful crossover country artist.
Yes. Right.
He has such a clean sound.
Right.
Even the
he does not need moves,
and even unique sound.
Artist.
He has a beautiful sound, definitely.
Yeah, it's very clean.
I thought this was interesting. He's the first one that I remember, and correct me if you remember something else, but he's the first one that I remember that kind of articulated, I see this vision of the final band, like, as a contestant saying that. But I don't think anyone else is on the same page, because he was like, I see a boy band that's pop, country, folk, all mixed up. I mean, I appreciate that he's thinking all the way to the end, but I stopped and was like, is anyone else trying to be part of this band? No tea, no shit. I just don't think that anyone else is on board with that vision necessarily.
So I don't know.
That worries me. He's talented. I'm more impressed by the talent
he's definitely,
this week. But.
Look, he's definitely not a typical boy band material. He's definitely will be a great soloist. I see him already like singing the American anthem.
Oh yeah, the national game.
Yeah,
right?
And Super Bowl games or something. More than that, it was awkward and funny and pretty lovely to see him performing this time with the group. But this awkwardness, I'll call it cringe, because it felt like he's like one of those cousins that your mom is forcing you to take with you to the party or something.
Aww.
And he was like,
let's not forget. A little bit, but it's likable.
No, let's not forget that Taylor Swift was the most insanely awkward physical mover and performer. Especially when she first began. She's come leaps and bounds, but she's an awkward human being, and look at her now. So
and they didn't have, to our knowledge, from what we saw, they didn't have problems with him.
No, not at all.
Vocally, the group, any of that. Other than his choreography was awkward, and even then, Emma was like kind of in a lovable way.
Right, and just because he's not perfect and he's not a boy band material, I think they're waiting, and they would love to see, and also the viewers and us, we would love
like
to see his, the growth.
And
progress.
Come on, there's like an awkward, person in every boy band we can think of. I mean, think about all the boy bands.
True.
There's always one.
Listen,
she's all right, you guys.
And people did it. They did a research about people that are awkward and they're more likable and they're more friendly and they're more successful in life. Actually,
Well, and you got to think about also like the goal of this group is that you don't want five guys that everybody.
Everybody is
the same market. You want five guys that hit five completely different markets.
Right,
you have such a bigger market of fans.
You want everybody
to identify with something different.
If
to hit
we're
as
doing
many
the
demographic as possible.
Western thing, he's kind of competing against Andrew Bloom in that.
Because he's
bringing the country thing as well. So even though he's from Orange County.
Anywho, let's get back on track here. Let's talk about the rehearsal with Adam Blackstone. We get more into like this drama. We see him really highlighting Michael Connor again, and this is where Miles has his bit of a meltdown, which we all kind of felt was more so editing. Well. I'm curious if you guys felt the same way. We have some suspicions, which Stefan has kind of.
Yeah. Don't forget that there is...
Egged on with his Twitter.
It's a camera thing. Yeah, it's a camera thing.
But it feels like this was really honed in. Like, they wrote a story about Miles being this bad guy, having a hard time, and everybody loves Michael. And so they only show us all of these, you know... fine moments about Michael. Yeah,
they definitely don't want to give, like, that the viewers will take everything for granted. And they created a drama for sure. And how they were talking to Miles and everything. And they tried to bring, you know, to get some emotions out of him. And also by being, like, telling Michael Connor, like, you got something in you. And they all know that he got something special.
To praise him in front of the rest of them is intense.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Also don't know that, I mean, again, this is the editing.
We don't know what we didn't see.
They probably praised everybody else at one point or another, but we see them praising Michael.
That first, yeah. So that's in their first. And but obviously we don't know the order.
I think his Twitter defensiveness was a little early. Like, I think he freaked out because of the commercial that was focused on him.
I actually respect
that. But in the episode, I think they were all kind of insecure at moments. I think it made them all look like they had challenges. And honestly, let's talk about Gavin in rehearsal and Tim's comments.
Yeah.
Because I felt like they set us up to see why he went home. What did you guys think about Gavin in rehearsal?
I think I wrote wallflower, overwhelmed, and to the rushing comment, nerves. I just think he's so young.
Yes.
So young and
but he has
talented.
The 300,000 followers, so and I don't think it got to his head in a good way.
So it's, what?
No, I don't think that got into his head in a good way. I think, you know, he talked about being bullied, and I think he had started shutting down, like, before the competition even started. I think he was like, oh, this is an even bigger platform. What kind of hate am I going to receive? Even when he said, oh, it's hard to
that's a good
it's
insight.
Hard to focus on those 15,000 who say nice things.
Yeah.
Even when he said that, I was like, he doesn't focus on that. You can see in his eye, like, he's such a young...
So, yeah, he has a lot of followers. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, I mean, yeah, with great power, you have a great responsibility. Right, Mom? But no, I mean, a lot of people are watching him. He has a big fan base even before the show. But honestly, straight up, he's just good. And to be on this show, to be good, is not enough.
I think he's incredibly talented. I think he's young. I wrote down needs like 2 years.
Let him grow, definitely.
Nick Carter did tweet tonight and say, no spoilers, but this kid is going to go far. Keep an eye on him or something like that. So,
absolutely.
You know, obviously, Nick still has faith in him, and he already has a lot going for him. So, actually, I would much rather somebody get eliminated who already has a lot going for them that's going to be okay than someone like Dorian who it's depending on this opportunity.
Yeah. Right. So,
well,
so what?
This is the first time, we'll talk about it in a minute, but we'll get there.
I want to ask you
Let's
something.
Talk about Dorian for a second. Right?
Oh, Dorian,
we haven't talked about because we didn't see him a whole lot during the episode until he had this dark cloud with nappy tabs, you know, in the choreography rehearsal.
It felt exactly like that.
He said he feels different from the rest of the group, and I'm curious your guys' thoughts on the whole situation of Dorian feeling not a part of the group and just being sort of in a funk.
I think he has way more at stake than anybody else. And it's hard to be in a position where, like, this is one of many career opportunities, or this is the third reality show, some of them, that they've done, or whatever, and they have something to go back to, a life and a career. And we saw, like, my heart, talk about stories, the whole season we've talked about stories that break our hearts. Him sleeping on the floor got to me, and so I think that he just has a lot riding on this, and he's not able to, even though he's younger than most of those guys, he's not able to relax the same way somebody is who has a beautiful, amazing life and career to go back to.
Right. I think, like,
it's culture shock. It's culture shock and it's hard. I mean, this is in no way, shape, or form the same thing, but I grew up in upstate New York, went to school in South Carolina, where everybody was like the same. You know, it was like I was in somebody else's land. And it's very easy to shut down when you feel
like
out of place
syndrome.
Like that. You feel like you don't have a place there.
Either way.
And then not only that, but he's got to be looking around being like, If 4 or 5 out of 6 of the guys are this mold, and I'm here, why am I here?
Right. But let me tell you something. From the beginning of the episode, he seems like he's stuck in his own head. And he had a low self-esteem. But let me tell something to Dorian, like, if he's watching, if you're going to watch it. It's not about where you come from. It's about heart.
and about how bad you want it. And just because of his background, of your background, I think you gotta push harder and like, you can be a great role model for the viewers and for people. So many people.
You inspired me watching this episode. We leave inspired from the episode thanks to him tonight.
It's also beautiful. You're completely honest about where you're coming from, and there's bravery in that, and you should be surprising yourself, because if anybody who can speak their truth to other people and be like, hey, I'm scared about this, it automatically starts to shed layers of BS you've been
I would love him to take this fear, to give everything he got, and to use this stage to represent so many things that he wants to, rather than just to shut down and be afraid to go back to the hood, you know what I'm saying? And I think this is
to be present, because one of the things you do by saying, all these people are counting on me, all of this, this is an experience that he'll have whether he makes the band or not for his whole life. So enjoy every moment and be 100%. Present, and that will help your voice and your singing.
Right.
And let's be honest, he has one of the best voices on the show.
Oh, he's good. Absolutely. He's definitely good. But what do you think, if it will be him or Cam?
We'll talk about that later. Does it have to be one black guy? I'm just going to throw that out there. Let's talk about Nick's convo, right? Because we have a lot of tension in this group, obviously. We see it building the whole episode. And then we get, like, a bird's eye view into production. Everything's sort of wrapping. And Nick's like, I got to go talk to these guys. I felt like it was really genuine. What did you guys think?
Me too.
I liked
when we saw, because Emma already had her glasses on, and it looked like they were already tearing down stuff, and like, you saw Nick get up, and he was like, I'm gonna go talk to them, and it didn't seem staged at all. And I thought it was great life advice. Mm-hmm. Like, exactly. I loved their chat. The inner coach in me was like, this is so good, Nick. Like, help these guys out. Yeah. I thought it was 100%. So good.
No, he knows. He knows what he's talking about. He has a lot of experience. And, you know, it seems like, regardless to the cameras or if it was staged or not, it will make the contestants more comfortable with him to talk, you know, to be open with him.
And they were hiding. Whether there's like specific things they were hiding or not, I loved that he called that out. Because he was like, clearly, you guys are not bringing your full selves into this and having the conversations you need to have. So whatever got through to them, I do think it worked. Mm-hmm. And I loved that conversation.
Right.
Favorite moment of the night, maybe, other than the performance.
I also thought, I also thought you could tell that wasn't any type of a scripted or staged moment was... Because if it was, they would have cut to something, you know, with them at the house or rehearsal or something with them after that.
Right.
But
the pool scene with Emma or super contrived situations.
But I do feel like it was off the cuff. And I almost wish that they could have had time to talk it out as a group and then perform. I think there could have been an extra 5%.
It was a different day.
I appreciate that they didn't fill us in on those conversations, because it seemed like within their group, whatever those conversations, whatever the drama was throughout this episode, was very personal to all of them. Right. And I appreciate the production not putting that
on blast. That was the real drama, and we did not see it, is the truth.
So if any of you guys on social want to let us know what the real drama was,
feel free to message us, the team.
So let's talk about the performance, guys. We see them perform. There's Nothing Holding Me Back by Shawn Mendes.
Oh.
Overall impressions of the performance. Who shined? What did you think?
I love the song. Oh, who shined, of course. Who shined? What a question.
I know you're who shined? Michael Connor.
Michael Connor the Savage. Wow. Yo, I enjoyed it. Like, I couldn't get my eyes off Michael Connor. There's nothing that could hold him back. Yes, I said it right. I got it right. I got it right.
Oh my God.
Stefan, what did you think?
Whoa.
Well, so I expected Michael and Miles to stand out this week. My impression of the performance was I thought Michael stood out, obviously, as we discussed. Mikey was the standout to me.
Yeah.
I just think we knew Michael was good, so that was solid, but not surprising. Mikey surprised me tonight. Actually, what I thought about Miles is I just thought he was only looking into the camera for so much of the performance, not with the other guys, not the crowd as much. But if you go back and watch it, he's constantly right in that lens. And I was like, I know they probably told them to do it to an extent.
To Mikey?
No, to Miles.
To Miles.
Yeah. But I was like, if you're supposed to be proving that you have group chemistry and not just solo, it can't just be about the camera. Like, you got to bring the other guys into
it. One of the things I was noticing in the performance is I do think he was blending his voice more into the group because he has that lower register. So when he hits that, like, that harmony sometimes,
it makes
sense, it can overpower. But I do think in his singing, he was, like, a little bit more cohesive. But
singing got better all around, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The singing got better.
Do you guys think that he was supposed to do, like, he had to do the, to be the main sing, the lead vocalist on this performance, or... Like, you think it's
I forgot that he was the lead.
Right.
Was he the lead?
I think they edited it so that he was, and then Michael Connor took over, I think was kind of the storyline they gave us.
Michael Connor did a great job.
I thought he did great. I actually really loved Andrew Butcher in this. I thought he was adorable and endearing, and I thought that he wasn't as awkward as I expected him to be.
Yeah.
And you know what I love about him is that he had so much confidence.
Mm.
You know, he's like
I was just thinking he's awkward, but he still belongs there.
That can't really dance that well, but he nobody's told him.
But why not?
Right? He owns it anyway.
He owns it, and he loves it, and that's what I love about him, because it works.
It's the example of if you're having fun, you will make other people have fun, and you can see him enjoying himself.
But guys, still, he's performing all his life. Like, it's not that he's new on stage and stuff. He had to do some choreography and stuff.
So much added pressure.
Yeah, but did you see that movie? I saw this one that he had to go a little bit.
No, okay, you're done. You're cut off. I love him. Speaking of enjoying themselves, I loved seeing Gavin perform. And I knew from the second they took the stage, he's probably getting voted off, but he just has so much joy.
And he does interact with the crowd because he's used to it.
Yeah. But he looked so young, and that's what was glaring to me in the performance, is I wrote down, like, cruise ship, great performer, but he just has this quality. It's just so youthful and energetic. Like, I could see him on, like, a Disney show and just killing it and incredibly successful.
Well, yeah, he could be so Disney or Nickelodeon.
So
oh,
Disney.
My God.
I feel like he hasn't quite hit that that edge where he can go and be in a band that has, you know, a little bit of
So if Disney's watching us, please, Disney Channel, if you're watching, Gavin, Zendaya, out.
Yeah. So we do see Gavin voted off. What are your guys' thoughts?
People on Twitter are not happy by and large with this elimination.
300.
He has a lot of fans
to be
unhappy.
Don't take away 100,000 of his fans.
Can we ask for people? Like, can we ask for people to comment who they wanted to see?
Yeah, well, let us know who you wanted to go home.
Absolutely.
Because interestingly enough, I wasn't sure that I agreed last week that John should have gone home. I was uncertain about that. This week, I was like, based on what we saw, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Earlier on, if I was just to guess with these six guys, I wouldn't have picked Gavin necessarily. But after everything that we saw, I thought it was, I don't know, I thought it was right. Do we like the bottom two?
Yes. Yes, makes sense. Of course, to create a drama as well. And
him and Andrew in the bottom two? No, because we thought Andrew did good this week.
Maybe it will be. Yeah. I would put Miles.
Well, I think Miles, this elimination and seemed him more of like a band fit, like a global fit. They've already had two rounds through. They know who they're working with for the top 15.
Right.
And those are the two that kind of just don't quite fit, or we're not sure how they fit. And I think Gavin was the obvious choice. He just needs more time.
Yeah, I wrote with him, like, my impression of him is he's a nervous Nelly or a deer in the headlights, but he has the talent.
He was adorable. Oh, I thought he was super confident and fun, but he just is so young.
He's
I
so young,
I thought he was
yeah.
in the final performance, but the whole, I just thought throughout leading the whole up, episode yeah. leading up, I was like, is he going to be able to pull this out? I was really interested to, I was watching him almost all of the final performance, like, ooh, is he going to get there? Is he going to pull that extra punch?
Right.
I will say he went right back into solo mode once he got off the show. And that is a stark contrast to John. John has been writing with some of them. He went to VidCon and did appearances with some of them. So, like, I think John really wanted the group thing.
Yeah.
What's interesting is, in preparation for this episode, I noticed, like, Gavin has detached. Yeah. Gavin is totally separate. So, I think, you know, we wish him all the best. Nick wishes him all the best in his solo career. I think he's got great things ahead of him.
Well, and he was the first one that none of the judges had anything negative to say about. Right. They were very positive.
True.
You're incredibly talented. You're young. You're going to get there. Keep doing it. He was really the only contestant we've seen voted off to this point.
Don't you, do you think it's one of the conclusions for the judges that also Gavin and John, they both are pretty big on social media. Do you think that's one of the conclusions?
I have wondered if social media has factored in.
It's like they're already big, so maybe
Or maybe that's why they're on the show to begin with. They have a cushion to get a push.
So my question is the show is for people that are already a star and they just give them the stage to shine, or this show is about building the new stars? You know
I think
what I'm
it's building. I think a lot of they're busting their rear ends to really build their social and to really get out there. And I don't think any of them are household names.
Right. If you're on the show, you're not where you want to be as a solo artist. That's the reality.
Right, but I mean, Gavin is already big, like
but
quarter million
social
followers.
Nobody, you know, he's still performing. Those
that's not his music
media,
career,
no,
though.
But
that's
different.
Right,
but
it's all like touring and stuff.
Just because Dorian didn't come with all those fans, it doesn't mean that he doesn't have as much of a shot, though. I mean, if anything,
it makes me want him to get further, actually, if anything.
You're like,
that's
the dark horse rooting for him. Like,
No, totally speaking of rooting for, let's talk about predictions. We go live next week. Right, so we start our live shows. We're going to see new bands put together, which is really exciting. Who do you guys have? I want to know your predictions for the end. Who are your top five? Now, we've seen all of the guys perform in a group setting, group dynamics. We've seen a little bit more of their personalities, their performance style. Do you want to change your top five, Stefan? What do we got here?
We'll see what's going on.
I may have been swayed just in the mood after watching this episode, but I'm changing one of mine.
Okay.
So, my top five, I still have Michael, which I feel very supported and backed up in after this week. I'm putting Devin as number two, still in my top five. Brady, number three, still in my top five, and very validated after last week. Sergio, I'm still putting in my top five. I almost changed it to Chance. If I had to pick a runner-up, Chance would be my runner-up, but I kept Sergio, and then I actually switched my fifth spot to Mikey. I loved his performance tonight. I loved his outfit. I think he has a great voice. He's a sweetheart. I don't know. I saw it tonight, and I was like, wait, he could actually go all the way. Right. So those are my top five, newly on the list, Mikey.
What do you got for us, Carissa?
Okay, so I have Michael Connor. I know, he's that everyone
faves.
Of course.
I love Sergio Calderon. He's baby Bruno Mars. He has the light inside of him. Just like, every time I look at him, I wish he was sitting here. I want him around. He just seems like a fun energy. And I think whichever group
Latino
happens
lover.
Is going to need that type of energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I put Mikey, especially because now the crowd is going to be involved in a picking. I mean, the ladies love him.
Right.
And then I put Cam. And then for my fifth person, I don't know. I think it's between Miles Wesley and Brady. I don't know.
That's an easy choice of who's a better like group fit, though.
I just feel because of how Miles's voice sounds that adding that to a group, there are other. It broadens the range of songs that they can do, as opposed to Brady is somebody who can harmonize with everybody, and I think make everything sound good. But I don't know. It shows you how hard it is to be a producer. You're like, you have to factor in looks, the sound of the voice.
Listen,
all the boys are talented.
You're
it's
talking
so tough.
You're talking with Team Brady all the way here. Team Brady.
Brady,
what's up?
Brady and Michael Connor are obviously in your final five.
Oh,
what
yeah.
are your other
oh,
three?
Oh, of course. Jaden Gray is friendly. Let me tell you something. Of course, it was or Jaden or Cam. Of course, Jaden is good with everybody. I saw on social media, Twitter,
too
and all that.
Old.
He's good with everybody. He's a great in a
Jaden
group.
Is too old?
He's like, not necessarily age-wise, but like too mature.
He's unique. He's unique. His appearance, his voice, everything unique. Last week I said something completely like something else, but you know, I did my homework.
I was going to say, I'm shocked that you changed in favor of him when we did not see him at all this episode.
No. Okay, because I was thinking a lot, you know. And after that, of course, Brady with the chin.
Yeah.
Sergio to hit all demographics and markets, of course, the Latino lover. Chance, adorable, unique, and talented. And of course, my boy, all day, every day, and I hope he's gonna make it to the top five for sure. Everybody, give it up for Michael Connor.
Shocked and amazed. All right,
President of the fan club is sitting right next to us.
Asaf is really excited about his boy band. My boy band. I still maintain that we're gonna see a lot more of Miles. We're gonna see him adjust, and I think he's gonna be in the final band. Okay. I think they need his voice, his tone, and also his look is very different from a lot of the other guys. They don't really have anybody else that sort of hits more of an edgy look-ish.
Sure.
Sergio, again, love him. Brady. Brady is in my final five.
What?
Brady.
The Dragon Mama lady has had just a revival
moment.
They
put him in a suit, and I was like, what? Who is this boy?
It's the chin.
Chance. I love Chance. I just want Chance to succeed.
I almost did in the top five. And then
I had Cam, but I kind of really want Dorian. I'm curious to see how Dorian does. I don't think we've seen enough of him.
Yeah. We've heard more of Cam's voice.
Cam in there because I love him. I think he's incredibly talented. I think he has a light about him. I want to see Dorian rise to this situation.
Right.
Yeah. So, all right, next week. We go live.
Oh la la.
Yeah.
Live.
Yeah.
And new names. Say goodbye to Six Track and Reverb and all of them.
Jeff, and before we go, you've got some insight on what we might see next week. Some spoilers, if you will.
I do have some insight. So what should we tell them? Can we tell you guys the three songs that will be performed next week?
Please do tell.
Would you rather know that or the intro performance? I want to say the three songs.
Let's do the three songs that will be performed.
Then we'll be able to download them on iTunes. Yeah.
So first of all, we have these names. Top Line.
Oh.
Treble with, now this is, I don't know how I feel about this one. Treble with a five.
It's so,
with a five for the E, because so it's 80s. Five guys, but I don't know if I like it.
So okay, 80s.
And then Element. So we have Top Line, we have Treble, and Element, which will all be performing. I'm glad we get three performances all in one night this time. And the songs will be Despacito.
Ooh, I cannot wait, Sergio.
I know, I'm so excited. Yeah. Interesting one, Rolling in the Deep.
Oh, I love it.
Which will be interesting with a boy band. And then, interesting just because it's not a vocal-heavy song, Don't Let Me Down. Huh. Chainsmokers and Diet.
Interesting.
So, spoilers for next week.
So, we will see you guys next week. We'll see these performances, first live show. We're all super hyped. Let everybody know where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, you can find me at AsafGoren1, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, everywhere. Now you.
You can find me online at americaslifecoach.us or on social media at Dr. Lovegrove.
And I'm Carissa Blades on all social media. I am so excited to be the new girl and meet everybody online. So find me. I want to know which one of those new band names you think are the worst, because I don't like any of them.
Yeah, I'll fill you with that.
You guys can find me on social media at Rockin' Mama Life, and make sure you find AfterBuzz as well, AfterBuzz TV. Go to YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes, rate, comment, subscribe. We love hearing your feedback, so hit us up on YouTube. Let us know your thoughts. We love to comment. And check out these boys on social media, because it's super
fun. Join the party. It's a party nonstop. Yeah.
It's a party
Thank you,
nonstop.
Guys. See you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz. See you later.
The views expressed herein are those